This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And this is the Cosmic Eye Monthly Forecast Cancer Season. Really happy to have all of you here listening and happy to be joined by Vanessa Montgomery, the author of Star Power. Thanks for joining us, Vanessa.
Hi, Tony. You're welcome. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
So this is our second forecast episode. Really excited for this and Cancer Season. And we'll be doing these monthly when the sun sign changes. So instead of the first of the month, it'll be just a bit before the first of the month. And we have some regular sections in our podcast that we're going to go through today. And we're going to start out with Cancer Season. So Vanessa, can you lead us into Cancer Season and what that's all about?
Hey, yes, sure, Tony. So Cancer Season, the season of the mighty crustacean, as I like to call it.
I love that. I haven't heard that before. That's really great.
I met a mighty crustacean at a party, and that's what she said about herself when I asked her sign, I am the mighty crustacean.
Nice.
And so I've taken that on board. So it's a season of serious self-care as well. It's Cancer is yin cardinal water, to get down to basics. It's the beginning of a season, in this case in the Northern Hemisphere, is summer. And pushing off into the season with traits of warmth becoming more dominant. The sun's on the cardinal cross as well. And the yin factor, so receptivity around this month, something to take into account. I feel and I care are the statements of Cancer. I feel my feelings. What are my feelings? And getting clear on that. And I care, because no one cares quite like Cancer does. I don't think people realize quite how deeply. It feels all the feels. There's an archetype of the mother or the matriarch. And I also like to think of the hard shell clutch with Cancer, because, you know, it's on that axis with Capricorn, which is big business and small business. So, yeah, the purse, the hard shell clutch. They care personally. Cancer cares personally. So wherever Cancer is in your chart, that's what's going to be highlighted this month, and perhaps lean into that for the self-care element as well. It's very personal. Yeah, my personal feels, I personally care in a personal way. It's very like immediate emotional bonds and connections as well. It's very family and clan based. There's a family values, home security, comfort food, which brings me to America. Happy birthday for July the 4th, because America has a sun in Cancer. It's literally a Cancerian. And because I'm Australian, I always think, well, when I discovered astrology and that places have signs, I just thought, wow, America is just so Cancerian. The traits are so strong. You can see the rising and the moon and everything in there, but that Cancer is so strong. So I wanted to have a little look at that, just to open up as the classic Cancer, as America, to open up that idea. Tony, being in the Cancerian bubble, can you see those Cancerian traits?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm focused right now a bit more on the negative, and I think nationalism is a component of the Cancer archetype that America does pretty well. I always get a little bit uncomfortable on July 4th. I have to admit, it's my least favorite holiday because nationalism makes me feel a little frightened when it's celebrated that intensely. So yeah. Just because of the history, not necessarily in this country, I mean, including this country, but just the history in the world of nationalistic movements and the harm that they can cause and do. But yeah, I definitely, comfort food and security for sure as drives for Cancer. You can totally see those in the American archetype or in the United States.
I think so. And, you know, yeah, there's the positive and the negative, or the light and the shade to every sign. And you can certainly see that in America, which is, you know, there's not more of one or less of the other. One's not better or worse, but it's just interesting to look at. So I definitely see, you know, the positive and the negative with America. And I've written a few things down here in the positive, you know, that home cooking, certainly the patriotism is, we didn't never had that in Australia. We just didn't have any country pride at all until we held the Olympic Games and we had a little moment of pride. But yeah, America's very patriotic, it's true. And, you know, there's a good side of that as well. The sitcoms are all kind of based around the home and the family, which I think, you know, we get a lot of that here in Australia. Movies are very strong on, you know, the emotional connections and conveying emotions while it's not wordy like English movies say. So I think that's that cancer, really getting the feels across and the connections. And, yeah, never hear the term home security, you know, for the whole country and then for individual homes too. Home security is a big thing in America, and that leads me to the shadow side of cancer. There is a fearful, you know, on the axis of cancer, Capricorn, there is a fear in there. So, you know, issues of safety are really quite prioritized, and maybe sometimes being a cardinal sign is offensive, like takes the offense, like that fear of the other or other countries. So sort of goes out with the nippers to other countries, making sure they stay back. It's very nostalgic, Cancer. You know, the water signs tend to be quite nostalgic, and Cancer's definitely, you know, how things used to be and the soft focus, the comfort wear with the tracksuit. So I remember, you know, years ago, you know, Americans wear a lot of tracksuits. And I think it's that Cancer comfort wear, you know, home on the couch kind of vibe. Yeah, very famous for the food, even, you know, fast food comes from America, like a grab that comfort, eat the feelings, you know, on the shadow side of it, push them down. So, yeah, and Cancer's the mother, the big mother. So I think there's, yeah, it's interesting. I think with that Pluto return, it's like stepping up into your own sort of parental leadership role, you know, with this as well. Anything else you'd like to say for Cancer before we go to monthly moons?
Yeah. Well, I just think that I think nostalgia is big. You know, Vanessa, you may not know this, but in America, we are in the United States, we have a film that we watch every Christmas called It's a Wonderful Life. And it strikes me as a really nostalgic movie. Well, first of all, it was made in 1946 and we still watch it every Christmas.
Yeah, it's like our
It's like our biggest Christmas movie. I was just thinking about the main actor in it and the director. Neither of them are Cancers, but Jimmy Stewart and Frank Capra. But definitely it's a film that we look back. One of the things I think Cancer can do with nostalgia and history, and all of us can do this, is we look back historically in a way that's not necessarily objective, right? So one of the things we humans are fond of doing is remembering an idealized past that actually never existed. Mm. And the United States has some trouble with that. And it's why the current president's slogan, you know, worked in part, because it's referring to that kind of idealized past that never, it was never quite like we imagine it. So it can be a problem, but it's also kind of has a lovely glow about it, nostalgia as well. I mean, I'm somebody with a lot of planets in the fourth house, but this also makes me think of Marcel Proust, who had a Cancer stellium in the fourth house, including the Cancer sun. And he wrote a very famous and very, very, very long series of books called In Search of Lost Time. And it's all, you know, it's kind of the title speaks for itself. Yeah. So yeah, I think you're totally right on with that as well. So I think our next section is monthly moons and eclipses. Is that right?
That's right. The monthly moons. And it's the last blast of the eclipses on that Cancer Capricorn axis as well. So, you know, that was taking out people left, right and center all through 2019, of course, bunched up in a larger signature there. So this is the final part of that. And there's two new moons as well this season. There's one on the very first day of Cancer, and there's one on, I think it's the last day. So the second is July 20 at 28 Cancer. The first with the Ring of Fire and annular solar eclipse is at zero Cancer on June 20.
Our full degree.
Eastern Daylight Time, that is. And, you know, sandwiched in between is the full moon in Capricorn with a lunar eclipse on July 5th or July 4th PDT. And so then we get that this that Cancer Capricorn axis, isn't it? And with Saturn going back into Capricorn for a little while, it's just it's going to hit off all of that Cancer Capricorn stuff. And of course, wherever these are happening in your chart, again, it's going to set those things off. And I'm thinking about, you know, that nostalgic idea for where's Cancer in your chart, as well as, you know, on the world stage and for the Cancer Capricorn countries. My country's the opposite in Capricorn, so we're on that axis as well with America, and we are quite influenced, and I think we're quite tied in certain ways, so that's interesting. So two new moons, get two goes at making the new moon intentions. So I would just sort of come at the same ones again for the second one, and you'll have the whole month to tweak them, which will be interesting. Around, you know, intentions setting on the new moon is more like, you know, safety, security, what you want your chosen family or family to be like, or what you want for your family, and putting down those plans. It's about putting down roots too, isn't it, with Cancer? Yeah, home issues. So I think if anyone, I know for myself, I've already sort of started thinking about home and where I want to be and what I want to do. And you're doing home stuff right now, aren't you? It's already happening in Cancer season. Well,
definitely, yeah. Focus on the home. I mean, that's not an unusual focus for me with six planets in the fourth house, but I'd spending a whole life with that intention.
That's true. So even more so now. So with that polarity, with the full moon in Capricorn on July 5th or July 4th, you know, I think of it's a real parental axis, the big mm-hmm. mama, the big papa, and stepping into being parenting yourself and not waiting for someone else to come along and do it. The polarity between Cancer being, you know, that emotional connection, and then Capricorn's the boundaries, and you know, the work is the home, and then the external vocational vibe. But again, depending where you have them in your chart, what do you think about that axis? What do you have to say?
Oh, I think it's interesting this time around because, you know, last year we had the nodes in Cancer and Capricorn, and now mm-hmm. they're in Gemini and Sagittarius. But what we have this in this Cancer season is the Sun in Cancer, so and then Saturn going back into Capricorn right at the beginning of mm-hmm. July. So we have the two symbols that we might associate with father archetype in the sign of Cancer, mother archetype. So that's interesting to contemplate. It seems that in my mind, it's calling for the father archetype to bring in more of the divine mother into its experience and actions.
Well, it's definitely happening with all the boys and the prams out jogging down at the coffee shop. I think that's so great. The dads are getting their mums on, their inner mum, and vice versa, which is fantastic. It seems like we've
come far enough that that's actually not. It seems like it's more embraced it's a more comfortable.
Yeah, it's definitely more integrated, mm-hmm. thankfully. Yeah. And I do think, again, I'm thinking more for America at the moment, not to go too into what's happening, but just that idea of there's basically no leadership. And I think in some ways it's a good thing. It's like clear, no one's coming to save anyone. It's up to the people to step up and parent. You know, step into that role and not be because Cancer's, you know, it's the third sign of the zodiac. It's the child as well. And yeah, don't be the child with the big hungry eyes waiting for someone to come and pick you up and put a blanket on you and give you a bottle of milk. You got to step into it and get that polarity going and yeah, step into being the matriarch or the patriarch. And it's also that real communal, you know, when we get to the books we're reading, I've been reading a bit about that. It's that, it's the commons, it's the communal, isn't it? It's like, we're all in it together. Cancer's very clannish, you know, like Scotland is quite clannish and Cancerian like that too. And it's that larger extended family, not just that, which is a more natural way that we're meant to live. So yeah, I think that's a good thing.
Home, hearth and country are really featured, right?
Pardon?
Home, hearth, and country.
Very much. Yeah, very much. Yeah. It's all connected, isn't it? From yeah, your own fire pit to the nation, which is one big family, to the world, which, you know, we're actually all related. If you go right back, we are all one big family, and it's something great to remember over this particular season.
Yeah, and I also really liked how you called out in that phrase that people might have missed, because it just came by quickly, was that you're chosen family.
Yes,
and absolutely. Sometimes it works out that our own family is nourishing and supportive, and sometimes it doesn't work out like that. And we seek out our family that is nourishing and supportive.
Yeah, and you can certainly have a blend as well. And that whole idea of blended families is much more a common thing now. And if you do have that beautiful, warm family, often, you know, you'll take in the waifs and strays to, you know, benefit from that as well, which is really nice. I think the chosen family is really important. I always write that in my glamour horoscopes also.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So moving on to, give me the headline signatures.
All right. So we can share these, but we have 6 planets retrograde. That's a lot of planets.
Yes.
So a lot of retrogrades, a lot of retrograde energy. We still have Venus retrograde till around the 25th of June. So we're going to be wrapping up Venus retrograde right here at the beginning of Cancer season.
Is it still out of bounds? Or is it gone in?
Nope. Everything's back in bounds now. We had Mercury out of bounds and Venus out of bounds at the same time, and everybody's back following the rules again. So we did have a really fascinating, just as a quick aside, fascinating and also tragic correlation with Mercury out of bounds, where Breonna Taylor, who I'll speak about in a moment, was born with natal Mercury out of bounds. And then I was really moved when there was a campaign put out around the internet there were 2 campaigns. There was a campaign, Say Her Name. You were seeing that slogan go around, Say Her Name. I thought that was fascinating. That was coming out during when Mercury was out of bounds again in Cancer, in the same sign it was out of bounds in her own chart. That was fascinating and moving. And then also on her birthday, we were being asked to send birthday cards to senators to try to raise attention to her story. We also have Mercury retrograde in the cycle as one of the planets, one of the 6 planets retrograde. So we have kind of Mercury retrograde in Cancer this time. We have Mars going into Aries. That's big news. That's definitely part of the headlines this month, in part because we have a Mars retrograde cycle at the end of the year, which means we have a very long period of Mars and Aries for several months. We also have, while Mars is in Aries, Mars will conjunct Chiron. That's an important aspect this month. And we have Jupiter and Pluto making the second of its 3 conjunctions, of their 3 conjunctions this year. So I'll be talking about that in some detail today.
Do you want to go into that now, Tony? I'm really curious to hear about it.
Sure thing. Yeah, definitely. It's a really powerful, powerful archetype. And I think it's unfolding in the backdrop of some other big cycles this year, the Saturn-Pluto conjunction in January, and also the beginning of the Saturn-Uranus square that started in at the end of March and beginning of April, when Saturn went into Aquarius and got within 4 degrees of orb of the square, with Uranus as a major trigger this year. And then Jupiter conjunct Pluto, which first pass was on April 5th, when Jupiter conjuncted Pluto at 24 degrees Capricorn, while Saturn was at 0 degrees Aquarius. And then again, June 29th, at those exact same degrees, we have Jupiter conjunct Pluto at 24 Capricorn, and then Saturn at 0 degrees Aquarius. So in April 5th, when those planets were conjunct, all 3 planets were direct, and this time, June 29th, all 3 planets will be retrograde. And I think that's really interesting. And then the third pass of Jupiter-Pluto will be November 12th, and Saturn will be in Capricorn that time, and really close. So Saturn will be really kind of, it'll be a Jupiter-Saturn-Pluto sandwich. And then all 3 planets will be direct then as well. So it's a whole year of Jupiter-Pluto. So it's really worth talking about some of those significations. And I'm not going to do a full version of that, because as I was preparing our material for today, I realized I wanted to create a webinar around this. So I'm working on that right now. But this is a little piece of that and those ideas. And I was also really inspired by an article written in November of 2019 by Brian Clark on the Jupiter-Pluto conjunctions. And you can find that on his website, Astrosynthesis. Oh, wait, I have it right here. Yeah, it's astrosynthesis.com.au. in that article, he suggested that issues of justice and tolerance of diversity would capture our attention in this cycle. And wow, did he get that one right? Right? I mean, when I read that, and I was a little delayed reading the article because it came out in November and I had it on my reading list and I just got to it and I was like, whoa, he was really, really onto something there. And he writes at the end of the article, as Jupiter and Pluto combine, a new level of tolerating the diversity of human laws and systems becomes available. And it's a really positive kind of forecast of Jupiter and Pluto coming together, and one that really came true, right? It's coming true as we speak, and I want to talk about that. So let's break it down a little bit. So here he's pointing to Jupiter's association with laws, with justice, and with the courts. Mm. And then in Capricorn, we're really especially focused on accountability, on government policy, on organizations and systems. I think Pluto in the mix here is calling our attention to those issues that we've kept in the dark too long, those things that we've been afraid to face or talk about, and also to the dark hidden web of power dynamics and corruption. And Brian weaves in the story of Jupiter and Pluto in myth, as he always does so well. And these are two brothers in the myth, a sky god and an underworld god, who rarely come together, and they each kind of have their own domains and rarely hang out, so to speak. And he suggests that when they do, there's an opportunity for shadow, Pluto, and light, Jupiter, to dance together, to work together for seriously positive outcomes. But that's all dependent on us, on how we respond, and on our personal awareness and willingness to do the work that Pluto's asking here. Pluto always asks us to face what it's bringing up with eyes wide open, and it always tends to be things that we don't want to face. Like, for instance, the corruption and violence in the criminal justice system in America. If we're the one that's doing the harm, if we're the one addicted to and entrenched in systems of power over others and benefiting from that experience, we're not likely to be seeing our situation openly, but the potential is there during this cycle, and the potential is definitely there to be called out, and we're seeing a lot of that right now. And with Jupiter here, I'm thinking of this as almost shining the light on the Plutonian so that we see what's happening. It's impossible not to see it. And right now we're seeing the abuse of power by police, by judges, and by politicians. And it's not that it wasn't there always and that people didn't know about it. It's just that it's reached a fever pitch of attention. This seeing through is important, I think, especially since it's happening at such a collective and global level right now. And as an aside, I think that has a little bit to do with Saturn being in Aquarius, but that's another story. But in a rare moment in our history, we're miraculously also seeing some accountability, which I've personally just been waiting for with these planets being in Capricorn. I was really seeing that as a high potential, and it wasn't really happening so much last year with Saturn in Capricorn without Jupiter there while Jupiter was in Sagittarius. It was like the desire for accountability was there and the attempted accountability was there, but it wasn't until now in this moment with Jupiter and Pluto conjunct in Capricorn with Saturn being in another sign in Aquarius that we're seeing some very real accountability and some very real actions. Remember, this Capricorn's a cardinal earth sign. So this isn't just talking about accountability or thinking about it or saying, wow, we really need to fix our criminal justice system in America. This is actually taking action to do something. And we've seen some really quick, swift actions, which has been really, really inspiring and beautiful. I really think it took Jupiter coming in there to shift that balance. In the events that have transpired since George Floyd's murder in the United States on May 25th, which it's hard to believe that it hasn't even been a month. I mean, these events happened so quickly. Really fast. We've actually seen the officers responsible swiftly arrested and charged. That hasn't happened before this quickly and with this much conviction and with this much social action. Jupiter with Pluto is intense, it's fierce, it's dynamic, and it's righteous, whether rightly or wrongly. On June 12th, another black man named Rayshard Brooks was also murdered by police at a Wendy's drive-thru in Atlanta. That was just days ago, really, I want to say unbelievable, but unfortunately it is very believable in our country. And just yesterday, the officer responsible was charged with murder and today turned himself in. Again, kind of,
wow.
We haven't really seen that before in this way. We're even seeing some positive action taken in response to Breonna Taylor's murder. She was murdered by police as she slept in her home. They basically was like, case of we got the wrong person and murdered you. On June 12th, the same day that Rayshard Brooks was murdered, we had a positive outcome as Louisville, Kentucky announced that a new law named the Breonna Taylor Law will ban no-knock warrants in Louisville, Kentucky. So that's how she was, that's how they basically entered her apartment. It was a no-knock warrant, which means they could just storm in. And other cities and states are expected to work on similar laws. Colorado is in the midst of passing some really sweeping reform that's really amazing. And I know that some of you have heard about the actions taken in Minnesota as well. So justice is being served. And this is something to celebrate. And in these times where we're focused on the darkness with Saturn and Pluto as we need to be, there's also a lot of positive things transpiring as well. And there are things to celebrate and really great victories. Found it really interesting. I went on the Black Lives Matter site today and their current organization support merchandise. So like, you know, if you go on their website, they have merch that you can buy to support the organization and t-shirts and things like that. And they've got two of their big slogans right now are freedom and justice, which just are really great Jupiterian slogans, right? And then the last thing I wanted to call your attention to in terms of positive outcomes here, the Supreme Court in the United States, which I think the Supreme Court itself is a fitting Jupiter-Pluto expression, being the highest court of law in the United States. And it passed down two important and rather earth-shaking decisions in the last week in support of the Dreamers, preventing Trump from immediately ending DACA, this program that was protecting folks born in the United States, and delivered a really big defeat for him there. And Brian Clark, in his article, talks a lot about calling out injustice and shining light on power dynamics that aren't equitable. And I think that's a great example of that. And the Supreme Court also issued a ruling that protects gay, lesbian, and transgender employees from being disciplined, fired, or turned down for a job based on their sexual orientation. And as you and I were talking right before we started this, you were like, did that not already exist?
I did assume that would already be a thing, and it was shocked me that that's just coming now.
Yeah, it is. It is shocking, and it's just another great example of validation of that statement. You know, again, I'll just read it out again. That he wrote at the end of his article is Jupiter and Pluto combine, a new level of tolerating the diversity of human laws and systems becomes available, and the diversity, celebrating the diversity of humanity, and learning to live together, learning to live together with respect, and having laws that protect us.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to add a little thing to that, which I noticed it really goes with what you're saying as well, how, you know, people are saying defund the police. It's already started happening in some areas so quickly. That's amazing. Putting it into other areas. And then I think it's Minnesota starting to, they're looking at how can we do, like, make a community-led safety sort of situation. And to me, that's that Pluto getting in completely, like a conjunction is about the birth of something completely new. It's the structure. Pluto's like, really, you know, it's going to be something you'd never imagined, and it's already happening. That is amazing. And it also makes me think of this being Cancer season, you know, those planets are in Capricorn. So it's restructuring something, and it's the community led side of it is really interesting as well, taking it back to the commons and the people, and not just like Big Daddy or Big Mummy, you know, with the stick. So that's such a beautiful way of opening up those archetypes and how they're meant to be actually.
Yeah, and Pluto there is kind of correlating with transforming our system of control over others, or transforming our system of policing others. And and there are some really, really creative and interesting ideas circulating about in the wake of all this. But, you know, just if you just think about what you just said, Vanessa, with defunding the police is such a great correlation with Jupiter being in Capricorn with Pluto, because you have law and justice, and you also have one of those planets that's associated with finances and money, but we always have to put everything in the bigger context. And Venus right now, the other planet that we associate with money and finances is retrograde.
Yes.
So defunding, taking away, right? Taking away the money and putting it somewhere else. And some of the ideas circulating have to do with, it's not just about like having no police. It's about distributing the duties that the police have. For instance, police a lot of times respond to mental health crisis calls, and that's not really the best person to respond to those calls. And so some cities are like, yeah, actually we should probably have mental health professionals responding to those calls. So why don't we do that? Yeah, great idea. So again, this redistribution and transformation of the systems, I think the transformation piece is coming from Pluto here.
Hugely. And Jupiter's just going to amplify everything, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they're both planets of amplification, I think. I think Pluto, you know, Richard Tarnas uses this word titanic with Pluto, which I just love, and titanic intensity. So Pluto tends to intensify what it touches, and Jupiter tends to expand it. So it's like titanic expansion, I guess.
And yeah, complete overhaul, isn't it? Like not even an overhaul, it's just completely different transformation, which is the case.
And then being in the earth sign, I think is that it's like, it's cardinal. It's like, let's just do something about it. How about now?
Yep. Yeah. And something real.
Yeah.
Let's tangible. Not just talk about it.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at a few of the other times in history when these two planets have come together, Jupiter and Pluto, and a couple really stood out, which was the end of apartheid in 1994 and Quit India in 1943. They were both, and so similar to now in some ways. And I thought of, because of the apartheid ending in South Africa, Nelson Mandela, he is a Sun in Cancer person.
Wow.
And he does have Jupiter conjunct Pluto in his chart, in the opposite sign of Capricorn where they are now. His is in Cancer. So half a cycle away. So I've added a quote from him, which is, "To be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others." And that's really at the core of everyone having that freedom and equity and equality, isn't it? It's like, yeah, you can't just live off, you know, cheap things from China where people are slaving away. It's got to really be in balance. It's about that larger community, you know, that Cancer Capricorn. It's about everyone being served,
right?
Not at the expense
everyone
of.
Protecting everyone, you know. I like how, like with the phrase Black Lives Matter, there are certain people in the United States that take issue with it, and there's been a Blue Lives Matter movement, which is about, well, what about respecting the police? And then there's All Lives Matter, and people who came up with those slogans didn't understand the original slogan, Black Lives Matter, which is calling out an inequity, right? It's not saying, it's not saying that certain people matter more than others. It's saying, actually, what it looks like to us is that Black lives don't matter. So we're kind of saying, actually, they do. So we're calling out an inequity. And again, it ties into Brian's prediction for this moment.
Yeah, did well. And then on top of this, just to sort of, I mean, this, because of the retrograde, it's such a long, we get such a long go at it, don't we? And then we've got Mars going into Aries for 6 months.
Wow.
So that goes in during Cancer season. It's going to retrograde and then go forward again. And so that's going to be, it's not this month squaring, but it's going to move into a few squares with these planets. And just to tip it off even more and make sure that action happens, we're all going to get a few goes at it. So that's on the collective level. That's also, you know, where is that in your chart? How, what areas of your life are you redirecting and completely transforming? Like, I think it's interesting to look at where people have Capricorn with that Jupiter and Pluto, as well as the Saturn hookups in there. Where's Mars going to be in your chart for 6 months in its own sign of Aries?
Yeah, so, you should stop right now and look at your chart and see where Aries is. That's the next story that's unfolding.
Yep. And then it ties into what Tony's just been talking about too. So Mars retrogrades every 2 years. It has the longest time between retrograde drinks. And the last time it retrograded in Aries was 32 years ago. And for those people that have had 32 years plus of life, that was in 1988. So you could learn by any mistakes or awesomeness from back then for this time. And I had a little chat to Tony about, well, what was happening in your life in 1988, Tony? Yeah. And what could you learn from that now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the short version of the story is I wasn't stopping and slowing down when I should have been. Right. I was moving forward. I was pursuing a dance career, and I got a knee injury, and I felt pretty invincible, and I kept dancing on it. And I had a lot of energy because I was young. I was 18. And I had never had an injury, so I didn't know how to take care of myself, and I kept dancing on it. And one day I was limping up my fourth flight walk up, kind of picking up my injured leg to get up each stair. And I was like, I don't think this is normal. and then the mistake I made was I kept dancing on the injury. And then I wasn't, the story ended with me never being able to dance again. So it was a sad moment the next year, as I took a year off to recover, and the doctors told me that I might not ever get the full use of my knee back in a way that I'd be able to dance again. And I never did. So, it's basically the message of the story is, if life is telling you to slow down during Mars retrograde, which that's coming up in, is it near the end of September? Is that right?
I haven't written
it's,
down.
It's when this it fall.
Into retro, but
it's for sure retrograde in October. Anyway, we'll be talking about that in one of the later episodes. But for right now, you just want to kind of look where Mars is in your chart. And for right now, you're going to get that full steam ahead energy. So this month isn't necessarily the time to slow down, at least with your Mars actions. With all the other retrogrades, we could argue for that for sure. Yep. It might be that you are kind of feeling full steam ahead with Mars and Aries. I mean, if you were expecting things to calm down this summer, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
I don't think it will.
But
it is, Mars in Aries is go for it, isn't it?
Go for it, yeah.
It could. I see it as, you know, because everything that's happened and everyone's been in lockdown and maybe really slowed down for a while there too, this is where you really can get back up to speed, pick up those balls and really, really get ahead of where you've been. Yeah, sort of not heading. But then, of course, when the retrograde comes, and we'll talk more about it, then there is going to be a moment of, hang on a sec, let's just look at where we need to reassess. And you can't just keep burning on through at that point. But at this point, you can definitely get back up to speed. And I was thinking about what I was doing in 1988. What can I learn from that now? It was a really great year. I loved it. I discovered gay clubs, and I was in high school, so I didn't do my assignments. I just showed up to exams, and I didn't go back and do the work and balance it out with, and you know, five planets in Sagittarius, my dream was of going to, just basically pursuing academia, going to art college and probably just doing degree after degree at that point and traveling the world. But I had to delay it because I didn't do my assignments. I still can't believe I didn't keep my eye on my prize. I was just, you know, Aries is immediacy and Mars is like pretty hot blooded. So it's just going to go after some sort of immediate thing and possibly take the eye off the prize. So,
well, I do think that we can both be forgiven for the hubris of being teenagers.
But we can learn from it this time for sure. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, we can definitely, I think it's a pretty fun vibe. It just could get a bit clashy at some point when it it moves into those squares. So it's going to, as Tony already mentioned, it will be meeting up with Chiron as well, July 13, 14. So we're discussing themes around getting overheated, and that's that idea of don't keep driving the car. If the heat's going up, you have to take that little cool down rest, inflammation, being inflamed. And of course, people are very on the edge at the moment, and those tempers and I think rash, impulsive, taking the leap, like not looking before you leap, situations could arise. And with Chiron conjunct Mars, especially in impulsive Aries, a shadow of that could be a wounding Chiron action versus healing action. So be very conscious about that. Look before you leap.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think that's also really interesting, that moment where Mars conjuncts Chiron, in the context of that that whoosh that's coming after Mars has been in Pisces, and moving, when Mars moves from Pisces to Aries, it's pretty dramatic. I mean, I just think of it as okay, go.
Yeah, so direct.
And then Mars hits Chiron, and we have this moment that's really interesting in the middle of July. And then against the backdrop of the Jupiter Pluto, which brings with it the self-righteousness that's fueling positive action in a best case scenario. Mm-hmm. But what about when you're kind of crossing the line from self-righteousness into hubris? What about when you're crossing the line into pride and arrogance, and then Mars and Aries leap before you look? So definitely that little conversation with Chiron in the middle of July, I think that image of overheating is really perfect.
Yeah.
It might be time to cool down a little bit.
Yes. I'll be conscious about, like, direct that energy, be conscious about where you're, like, it's like driving a car, that Mars in Aries, a really fast car. Be really conscious about your path. Maybe map out the destination. Maybe map out the path rather than just sort of driving this Formula One beast and hitting a wall or something like that. I actually thought everything that's happening now might happen once that Mars got into Aries. I'm surprised it happened in Pisces, to be honest. So I'm really curious about what to expect once it really puts the metal to the pedal to the metal.
Well, I when I'm talking with clients about Mars and Pisces, one of the images I bring up is fighting on behalf of the defenseless, or being aware of others' needs for protection, and kind of stepping into that role. And I feel like we did that with the collective. I feel like we responded immediately to the wounds of these people in these situations. And
that's true.
Yeah. Another image I think with Mars and Chiron there, July 13th, a positive one that I always bring up with Chiron is just stepping into the mentor role or the teacher role to embody that energy in a positive way.
Yeah, so Mars being leadership, so leading by that kind of example, that's true, and actively taking on that mentorship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good ones. Mm. Now it's time to take a pause this episode for our organization highlight. In honor of the Supreme Court ruling on DACA, I want to tell you about an organization that I donate to regularly called RACES, the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, and that's spelled RAICES, and their website is racestexas.org. So it's RAICESTexas.org. And this is from their website. This is a crucial time in the fight for immigrant and refugee rights. We believe that no child should walk into an immigration court alone. Families should remain together, and no one should be kept in a detention center, especially in the face of COVID-19. Your donation provides legal services for members of our society made even more vulnerable in the midst of a global pandemic. Bond payments to release immigrants held in detention centers that are ripe for the spread of coronavirus, and more awareness as we fight tirelessly to free them all. For over 30 years, we have risen to meet the challenges of a system that seeks to strip immigrant communities of their humanity. Now is no different. The stakes are higher than ever. You are creating opportunities for survival and a pathway for lasting change through advocacy and legislation. Your support at any level makes a difference. Please consider making a donation today at racestexas.org. And now back to our program.
All right. So this takes us to our next section, our next segment, which is what's on your coffee table, Tony?
Okay. I love this. I feel like we need to introduce some fun little music interludes.
I'll get
here.
A triangle.
Yeah. So on my table is From the Moment We Met. I just got this. Sorry, I'm doing the virtual background, so I have to be still. This is a book by Brian Clark, which is really fitting. I'm reading a lot of Brian Clark right now. And this is The Astrology of Adult Relationships. So really excited about this one. I just cracked it. But let's see if there's a description here in the back. Relationship astrology and synastry is not just an exploration of compatibility and possibility. It calls us to honor the mystery and soul of our attachments, not for what we want them to be, but for how they truly are. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited about this one.
Written by a stellium in Libra person on relationships.
Who else do you want to read a book by?
Exactly.
Who else do you want to write that book? That's like kind of perfect.
I think so.
And what's on your coffee table?
Well, this month I have just finished The Witches, Witch Hunting and Women by Sylvia Federici, which is more, it's like a quicker version of her preceding book, which was Caliban and the Witch, Women, the Body and Primitive Accumulation. And it's because I answered a call out for something and they were talking about, you know, we want to take in ideas of smashing patriarchy, you know, capitalism and a few other things. And I just thought, well, I suppose I don't know about the beginnings of capitalism. I'll look into that. And it took me back to the Middle Ages, and Sylvia talks about the beginnings of capitalism there, how that was working. Basically, it was about losing the commons to private capital, and also she had the feminist aspect as well and tied in the witch hunts and what was happening with destabilizing communities and things like that. So it was, again, hard reading.
I was going to say you weren't doing the light reading this month.
oh no, I'm feeling a bit crushed under the weight of all the things. But doing the Sag thing, looking at that bigger picture again, the influence of the Capricorn at the moment. It's really interesting to look back in history and herstory and time and look at where the founding, like what even became before this, you know, maybe looking at how things were might help look at a different future for now. Where can we go past, where is there, what are the options beyond capitalism and privatization? And yeah, it's been really interesting, but heavy.
Wow. Good one. Yeah. I do want to, now that you mentioned that one, I do want to mention a book that I listened to in the car as I was driving from Colorado to Oregon this month, which was really amazing. And definitely check this one out if you haven't heard about it, but it's called Tell Me Who You Are. And the author's names are, see if I can see them. I'm just looking at it on Audible on my phone. And it's, Winona Guo and Priya Vulci. And, Priya's last name is spelled V-U-L-C-H-I and Winona's last name is spelled G-U-O. It's the subtitle is Sharing Our Stories of Race, Culture, and Identity. And I did some, you know, race and culture studies in college. And so I've read a lot of this type of material in a real academic way. And this is written by two young women who, after high school, they did a year off and traveled around the world recording stories with people who actually experienced racism, for instance. And it's so moving. It's so brilliant. I mean, it's an engaging read, and they make kind of complicated concepts really easy to understand. So definitely check it out if it's a real timely book to read right now as well.
Oh yes, timely and accessible is good.
Accessible is good. Mm. Yes.
Yep, we like that.
Yeah.
So this takes us to our final segment, which is our monthly mantra and key takeaways. So Tony, key takeaway.
Yeah, key takeaways. I'm going to go with get fired up, but cool off after. So that's speaking to that Mars and Aries energy in the backdrop of the Jupiter, Pluto, and also the message of Chiron jumping into the mix there with Mars for some healing. And then and also in the context of cancer season and keeping in mind that self-care is definitely something that should be on all of our radars. I also have take righteous action, but be aware of your own pride and potential arrogance or hubris.
Okay. Yes. The two sides. I keep thinking of a race car with that Mars in Aries, and they even race cars, because they burn so hot, they take a lot of pit stops. You know, everyone checks them over, and I think that's that self-care element. So
it's such a great image. That's so perfect. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. So my takeaway is the self-care, and we are one big family, and it's really important to remember that. And again, that takes us past the us and them divide, you know, and it's so important at times like this too, to remember that, you know, united they stand. And you know, what is divisive? What's dividing you? Who is that benefiting? Because it's not you. So we're one big family, and make sure you self-care as well on the private, very personal level. My monthly mantra is, I am safe. I feel safe. I am safe. And really embody that feeling of inner safety and security. And if you are feeling on edge, or like that's not the case, bring it back in. I'm just going to stick with that one, because that's so essential. I am safe.
Yeah. And keeping it simple like that. And that's just such a powerful one. I think that's a powerful one in the context, even if we think about the pandemic right now, and just the fears that we just have come through and are still experiencing for some of us of, you know, I remember that moment unfolding at the end of February and beginning of March, where we're like, we didn't have hardly any information. It was all unfolding anew, and there was a lot of fear and panic. And fear and panic is definitely part of the Saturn-Pluto archetype, and in Capricorn, just very dramatic and really obvious in the culture. So great one, Vanessa. So mine has to do with Cancer archetype as well. And mine is, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. I take responsibility for my own feelings. And the idea there is that we turn inward and focus on the work that we can do. And, you know, part of that is about expressing your needs with Cancer, right? So it's not that you just are self-sufficient. That's Capricorn. It's that you say, hey, I actually need some help. Can you help me out? Right. Mm-hmm. So that's taking care of yourself too. That's honoring your own needs and taking care of what's yours.
Mm, communicating your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, that wraps up another season, Cancer season, of the Cosmic Eye Monthly Forecast.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me. And I'm so excited about this series that we're doing. It was super fun to put together, and it was really great having you here and having this chat with you, Vanessa.
Thank you so much, Tony. I'm loving it as well. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and have a wonderful Cancer season.
All right. And we'll see you next time.
Stay cosmic.
For a list of our upcoming events, webinars, and courses, visit astrologyuniversity.com/event-calendar. July 4th, we have The Four Quadrants, A Fresh Perspective, taught by Alexander von Schlieffen. And in that webinar, Alexander is going to discuss new possible meanings of the 12 houses and look at examples that lead to a very simple, clear, and logical interpretation based on some very creative work he's done. He says, the missing element in each quadrant is the key to its understanding. That's presented on Saturday, July 4th, 2020 at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And if you're listening to this podcast after that date, you can always head over to astrologyuniversity.com and download the recording. And then on July 11th, Lynn Bell will be presenting the third in a series called The Alchemy of Relationships. And in this talk, she's going to be talking about relationships in times of crisis. And from her description, she writes, long-term partnerships put down deep roots. Over time, we go through hot and cold zones, stuck places, and burnouts. We wear out each other's resistance, and habits give way to friction, irritation, excitement, and crisis. There are times of tectonic shift for each person individually in the relationship. Crisis brings action, movement, and drama, and often resolves a stuck phase when no other solution appears. In this webinar, we will look at transits and progressions to the interchart contacts between two people, and look at how powerful transits affect one or both partners in Times of Crisis. That webinar is on Saturday, July 11th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Head over to astrologyuniversity.com to learn more, and we hope to see you in class soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.